Welcome to Block Talks, your daily microdose of health and Bitcoin. These podcasts are approximately 10 minutes long, which is the amount of time it takes to add a block to the Bitcoin ledger. This block is sponsored by Finny21.com. I hope it's helpful, and I hope you feel that at the end, it's time well spent. This is how I study Bitcoin and health, and recording them is my way of passing on this knowledge to friends, clients, and eventually to my daughter when she's ready to learn about health and Bitcoin. If you have a perspective to share or questions about anything that I'm saying today, please comment on this block or DM me using Noster. And if you got value from this, please consider zapping this block some sats on Noster. If you don't know what Noster is, please listen to episode number 3. It's a primer on Noster. It's worth a listen if you care about free speech and truth and if you want to connect. And today is January 3rd, 2025, and January 3 is known as Proof of Keys Day. So we're going to do a block, a 101 block on public and private key cryptography, or keys for short. Bitcoin block height is 877,654. Network hash rate is 775 exahashes per second. Moscow time is 1,032. Let's get into it. So today is Proof of Keys Day 2025. And January 3rd is the anniversary of the Genesis block. And it's also, you know, the Genesis block is really just the first page ever written in the Bitcoin ledger. And thanks to Bitcoin OG, Trace Mayer, January 3rd is also known as Proof of Keys Day in the Bitcoin community. And essentially, Proof of Keys Day is an annual reminder for people to withdraw their Bitcoin from exchanges and to take self-custody of their private keys. The meme is, not your keys, not your coins. And so essentially that meme sort of reminds people that you only own Bitcoin if you're holding the keys for that Bitcoin. If your Bitcoin is on an exchange, you don't actually own that Bitcoin. The exchange owns that Bitcoin, and you have an IOU from that exchange saying they're promised to give it to you when you want it. But they may not hold well on that promise. You never know. So if you don't own the keys, you don't own the coins. And I'm going to record lots of blocks on self-custody, starting with self-custody 101, which is going to cover why taking self-custody is so important. But this block is just going to be a really broad overview of keys, trying to introduce it and make it more tangible. And you know, in future episodes and future blocks, we'll dive deeper into things like best practices when it comes to generating keys and maintaining keys and securing them. But for this one, we're just doing a primer on keys. So Bitcoin is a digital form of money. And just like you access your bank account with a login that you keep secret and private, if you own Bitcoin, you access it with a private key that you also keep secret and private. So in Bitcoin, we have public and private keys. And so if we're, you know, I think it's helpful to think of Bitcoin as a bank in cyberspace. So based on that banking metaphor, the way we currently understand banking, the public key in Bitcoin would be your account number, your bank account number, and your private key would be your login password. So, you know, if someone knows your bank account number, they can't necessarily do anything with the money in the account. They can only send money to that account, right? It's a destination address where if they want, if they know your bank, if someone knows your bank account number, they can send you money by wire transfer, but they can't actually move any money around. So when we think about Bitcoin, think of it as a bank in cyberspace. Anyone can create an account in this bank in cyberspace. They don't have to ask permission. They don't have to submit documents to prove who they are. They can just download the software and create an account in the Bitcoin bank. And you know, the Bitcoin bank doesn't care who you are because it does not and cannot know who you are. And that's part of the beauty of Bitcoin, is Bitcoin literally can't discriminate because it can't even know who you are. All it knows is that you created a private key or created a wallet. So to recap, when you create a Bitcoin wallet, you generate a private key, which allows you to spend Bitcoin, and a public key, which allows you which allows people to send you Bitcoin. So the public key is the one that you give other people so they can send you money. And your private key, you keep private. That's why it's called private key, because anyone who knows that private key can essentially move the Bitcoin and steal it from you if they find out. So when you want to open an account in the Bitcoin bank, you create a wallet, which generates a private key. And that private key is a long string of letters and numbers that becomes your account number, or sort of wallet private key, as it's sometimes called. So I think another good example to make here is, or a metaphor is sort of email, right? When you create an email account, you create two important pieces of information. You create your email address, which is given to the public so they can contact you. And then you generate a password, which is what you use to log into your email so that you can check emails and send emails. And so, you know, according to that example, in essence, when you create a Bitcoin wallet, you're also creating two important pieces of information. You're creating a public address, which you give to people so they can send you sats. A sat is a small fraction of a Bitcoin. And then you also create a password, which you use to access and send money. So again, I'm going to do a summary again, because this, while it is really simple, it's really important to understand. When you open, Bitcoin is a bank in cyberspace. It is digital money. When you open an account at the Bitcoin bank, you create a key pair, okay, a pair of keys. One is a public key, which allows you to receive Bitcoin. That's the one you give to the public in order for them to send you sats. And then the other side of that pair is a private key, which is what allows you to access and spend the Bitcoin. Okay, so keeping your private key safe and secure is super important, very important. And we're going to spend a lot of future blocks covering that topic, including things like what's a wallet, what's a hardware wallet, what's multi-sig, and what are the best practices for making sure that this critical information that is required for you to access your wealth is kept safely. And I think that's an evolving conversation, because Bitcoin as a technology is continuing to evolve in layers. New tools are being built that help people secure their private keys, their information. And what's really important to remember here after everything is said and done is that when you create an account with the Bitcoin bank, which anyone can do anytime if they have an internet connection, no one can be turned away from the Bitcoin bank. It's extremely inclusive and equal. It treats everyone the same. Everyone has the same access to it, which is part of the magic of Bitcoin in terms of really establishing a new tool that allows for radical financial inclusion. Anyone in the world with an internet connection can now hold the world's best money, and no one can stop them from doing that. That's extremely powerful. And if you live in a country where you have access to banking, right? Like I'm in Canada, I can go open a bank account, I can open a stock trading account, I can open, I can buy equities, I can buy assets, but not everyone has access to that. And even though I can access those things, I have to forfeit a huge amount of personal information in order to get access to those things. So Bitcoin allows everyone to access those things, right? Like someone in a village in Africa can access the Bitcoin bank. They can't access a stock trading account. They might not even be able to access a bank account. Most people in rural areas don't have a bank account. And now they can, because a lot of those same people have an internet connection. And so when you open an account at the Bitcoin bank, which welcomes everyone, you create a public key, you create a key pair, a pair of very important pieces of information. One of them is a private key, which is the one you keep private and safe. The other one is a public key, which is the one you give to others if they want to send you sats. So that was a very basic primer, very high level. I hope it was helpful. Happy Proof of Keys Day to everyone listening. And if you do hold your Bitcoin on an exchange, I would advise you to begin the process of learning how to take custody of your own keys, because not your coin, not your keys, not your coins. That's how the saying goes. And just as an aside, if you want to really integrate what we covered here and really prove to yourself that you understand this, try explaining Bitcoin keys to someone you know and see how you go. See where the blind spots are, see what questions they ask, because their questions they ask might actually highlight areas of understanding that you can kind of work to patch up. So there will be more blocks in future about keys, key management, key best practices in terms of creating keys and stewarding them. There will also be lots of future episodes about self-custody. Why is it even worth taking possession of your keys? So happy Genesis Block Day. Proof of Keys Day. Thank you for listening to this Block Talk. Just finding my closing here. Where are you? Thank you for listening to this Block Talk. Stay focused, stack sats, stack health, and vote with your node. Share this with others if you think it's helpful. Zap this block on Nostr if you got value, and DM me on Nostr if you want to propose a topic or sponsor a block. Sorry for the mix-ups there. I record all these lives. I suck at editing. So I post them live. There will be blunders. I'm not going to apologize. Thank you for being patient. Catch you next time.